such as this, both in rehearsal, which calls for collective participation and dialogue. Great colonial days between us on the stage and you in the space. How can we differ to open and enter into critique and engagement, assuming and knowing that anybody who's coming in here is coming here with some ideas and some things to offer. We don't assume that we're talking to people who don't have a good vibe. So the idea, so that is a technique that we're trying to materialize around this kind of abolitionist approach. In 2020, we hope to premiere this piece that we're calling Breach, Adventures in Heterotopia, which looks at, which combines history, so it's coming from a political education, but it combines history along with surrealist kind of fun and games. So the idea with this, what we'll see tonight, is our attempt to combine a little bit of that history. Are people familiar with Marge Piercy's book, Women of the Edge of Time? Can you see? Yeah? It's a good book. Well, that's what's happening, right? So I'm trying to do a black, queer, feminist retelling of that. We are. And that is to say that what does it mean when you're looking at the numbers of people who are currently locked up in the United States prisons and actually globally as being black people? What does it mean specifically for queer folks, women, trans people, gender non-conforming people who are also placed in this hole? So we're looking at a very, today we're going to do some kind of a lyrical interpretation of a historical event which happened in 1974 in New York State at the Bedford Hills Correctional Facility. Are y'all familiar with the August Rebellion? Anybody here? Okay, so we can do that. So the August Rebellion, right? Not bad for Google. Space of confinement. and how we find investment, even in this multi-layered levels of environment, how we find resistance, it exists. How do we identify liberation within spaces of environment? And so looking at Marge Piercy's book, which was, for me, was very much a lyrical interpretation of finding freedom and liberation within multi-layered environment, we're attempting to tell you this story. And we would like I said, very much to engage your participation in the retelling, because as we are rehearsing this, we're taking notes, we're trying to tighten it up so that by 2020, when we're on the road, when it goes through the we have the feedback from people who we've been building with along the way. We're attempting to build solidarity networks. So how you engage this experience of Black, queer, trans, prisoner, transgressing those borders, right? Fighting against these ideas of confinement, both abstractly and in their daily experiences. We would love to hear from you. And, you know, there'll be a time when it gets to happen. But, again, we want to think about this as very much an experiment. I am one of the co-founders of Critical Resistance, which is a national grassroots prison industrial complex abolitionist organization, and as I think all of those words. And we always were, not necessarily asked, but frequently asked, well, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? What do you suggest we do about this? And we say, we don't know. It's an experiment. It is an experiment. And I, as a surrealist and an abstractionist, think of it also not just as an experiment, but as a game. And so we're going to invite you to begin with play.
My rights. Even tonight, and I need to take a walk and clear my head about this poem about why I can't go out without changing my clothes, my shoes, my body posture, my gender identity, my age, my status as a woman alone in the evening, alone on the streets, alone not being the point. The point being that I can't do what I want to do with my own body because I am the wrong sex, the wrong age, the wrong skin. And suppose it was not here in the city, but down on the beach or far into the woods, and I wanted to go there by myself, thinking about God or thinking about children or thinking about the world, all of it disclosed by the stars and the silence. I could not go, and I could not think, and I could not stay there alone as I need to be alone because I can't do what I want to do with my own body. And who in the hell set things up like this? And in France, they say, if the guy penetrates but does not ejaculate, then he did not rape me. And if after stabbing him, if after screams, if after begging the bastard, and if even after smashing a hammer to his head, if even after that, if he and his buddies fuck me after that, then I consented and there was no rape because finally, you understand, finally they fucked me over because I was wrong. I was wrong again to be me being me where I was, wrong to be who I am, which is exactly like South Africa penetrating into Namibia, penetrating into Angola. And does that mean, I mean, how do you know if Pretoria ejaculates? What will the evidence look like? The proof of the monster jackboot ejaculation on Black land? And if after Namibia, and if after Angola, and if after Zimbabwe, and if after all of my kinsmen and women resist, even to self-immolation of the villages, and if after that we lose nevertheless, what will the big boys say? Will they claim my consent? Do you follow me? We are the wrong people of the wrong skin on the wrong continent, and what in the hell is everybody being reasonable about? And according to the Times this week, the CIA decided that they had this problem, and the problem was a man named Nkrumah, so they killed him. And before that, it was Patrice Lumumba. And before that, it was my father on the campus of my Ivy League school, and my father afraid to walk into the cafeteria because he said he was wrong. The wrong age, the wrong skin, the wrong gender identity, and he was paying my tuition. And before that, it was my father saying I was wrong, saying that I should have been a boy because he wanted one, a boy. And that I should have been lighter skin, and that I should have had straighter hair, and that I should not be so boy crazy, but instead I should just be one, a boy. And before that, it was my mother pleading plastic surgery for my nose and braces for my teeth and telling me to let the books loose, to let them loose. In other words, I am very familiar with the problems of the CIA and the problems of South Africa and the problems of Exxon Corporation and the problems of white America in general and the problems of the teachers and the preachers and the FBI and the social workers and my particular mom and dad. I am very familiar with the problems because the problems turn out to be me. I am the history of rape. I am the history of the rejection of who I am. I am the history of the terrorized incarceration of myself. I am the history of battery, assault, and limitless armies against whatever I want to do with my mind and my body and my soul. And whether it's about walking out at night, or whether it's about the love that I feel, or whether it's about the sanctity of my vagina, or the sanctity of my national boundaries, or the sanctity of my leaders, or the sanctity of each and every desire that I know from my personal and idiosyncratic and indisputably single and singular heart, I have been raped because I have been wrong. The wrong sex, the wrong age, the wrong skin, the wrong nose, the wrong hair, the wrong need, the wrong dream, the wrong geographic, the wrong sartorial. I have been the meaning of rape. I have been the problem everyone seeks to eliminate by forced penetration with or without the evidence of slime. And but let this be unmistakable. This poem is not consent. I do not consent to my mother, to my father, to the teachers, to the FBI, to South Africa, to Bedford Stuy, to Park Avenue, to American Airlines, to the hard-on idlers on the corners, to the sneaky creeps in cars. I am not wrong. Wrong is not my name. My name is my own, my own. And I can't tell you who the hell set things up like this, but I can tell you that from now on, my resistance, my simple and daily and nightly self-determination may very well cost you your life.
Thank you. ne me quitte pas. Il faut oublier tous vos souliers qui s'enfuient déjà. Oublier le temps des malentendus et le temps perdu à savoir comment. Oublier ces heures qui tuaient parfois à coup de pourquoi. Le cœur du bonheur ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas. Moi, je t'enfumais des perles de pluie venues de pays où il ne pleut pas. Je creuserai la terre jusqu'après ma mort pour couvrir ton corps d'or et de lumière. Je ferai en demain où l'amour sera roi, où l'amour sera loi, où tu seras reine. Ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas.
Ne me quitte pas, je t'inventerai des mots insensés que tu comprendras. Je te parlerai de ces amours-là qui ont de toi le cœur s'embraser. Je te raconterai l'histoire
cover screens with holy wings. In those days, we shall be turned.
Down. Don't let them tickle with a song. Don't let the fuckers get you down. Don't let them wonder why you frown. Don't let the fuckers get you down. But steal the frill of filling yarn, and you can hide them with a key. Don't let them take you away from me.
What was Inez Garcia supposed to do for the man who declared war on her body? The man who carved a combat zone between her breasts? Was she supposed to lick crabs from his hairy ass, kiss every pimple on his butt, blow hot breath on his big toe, draw back the corners of her vagina and hee-haw like a California burro? This being wartime for Inez, she stood facing the knife, the insults, and her own smell drying on the penis of the man who raped her. She stood with a rifle in her hand, doing what a Defense Department will do in times of war. And when the man started grunting and panting and wobbling forward like a giant hog, she pumped lead into his 300 pounds of shaking flesh, sent it flying to the Virgin of Guadalupe, then celebrated Day of the Dead Rapist Punk. And just what the fuck else was she supposed to do? And what was Joanne Little supposed to do for the man who declared war on her life? Was she supposed to tongue his encrusted toilet stool lips, suck the numbers off of his tin badge, choke on his claptrap balls, squeeze on his nub of rotten maggots and sing, God bless America, thank you for fucking my life away? This being wartime for Joanne, she did what a Defense Department will do in times of war. And when the piss-drinking, shit-sniffing guard said, I'm gonna make you wish you were dead, black bitch, come here, Joanne came down with an ice pick in the SWAT freak motherfucker's chest. Yes, in the fat neck of that racist policeman, Joanne did the dance of the ice picks. And once again, from coast to coast, house to house, we celebrated Day of the Dead Rapist Punk. And just what the fuck else were we supposed to do?
Amen. Power, power, Lord, power, power, Lord, power, power, Lord, power, power, Lord, I want power, 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 Lord, power, power, Lord, power, power, Lord, power, 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 yes, Lord. Power.
mission or the work that Du Bois is assigning to black culture is the mission of critical culture, period, right? So that we call it black culture only because it is associated with ethnicities in particular places related to the African diaspora. But it is a much larger task or mission or calling than that particular task. And it's done its work very well, because one of the things that black culture has been called upon to do is to push forward the emancipatory project.